was Pope Leo XIII, who in a vision, who after a vision of the powerful influence, the powerful demonic influence, which works against the good that Jesus Christ brings into the world through, in and through his church, that he determined that at the end of every Mass, we would pray the St. Michael prayer. And so that was a tradition, which, was begun under the papacy of Pope Leo XIII. Leo XIII, of course, was a long reigning pope. I think his reign was the fourth longest in the history of the church. His immediate predecessor, Pope Pius IX, had a longer reign. John Paul II had a longer reign. And then it's said that Peter, the first pope, had a longer reign. And so it would be about the fourth longest papal regnum in history. Now that means, because he was pope for a long time, it means that there are many different aspects of the papacy of Leo XIII that Leo XIV may have taken inspiration from. And there are any number of aspects of that that we can consider. Leo XIII died in 1903, I think, at the age of 92 or 93. And so he had a very long and auspicious reign. There's no doubt about it. Probably he's best known, John, and at least when I was a very young priest and I was teaching in high school, I did teach Leo XIII because he was the author of Rerum Novarum, which was that famous 1891 encyclical. Rerum Novarum means of new things. And he was writing about all of the new things that were sort of percolating in society at that time, at the end of the 19th century. Of course, it was a time of great distress and unrest. It was in the midst of all the changes of the Industrial Revolution, and we were watching cataclysmic clashes between ideologies of communism and capitalism. And so Leo XIII very deftly charted a kind of middle path between the excesses of capitalism in his time and the clear atheistic and problematic aspects of communism, where he asserted the rights of workers. He spoke about a fair wage and safe working conditions, the formation of trade unions, the rights to property, free enterprise, all of these things. In fact, if you go to the tomb of Leo XIII in Rome, it's at the Lateran Basilica, on either side of the high altar, or either side of the chair of the actual cathedra of the Pope. St. John Lateran is the cathedral of the Pope, although Leo XIII during his life was never allowed to visit it because he was a prisoner in the Vatican, because remember, he was Pope after the fall of the Papal States, and so, and before the formation of Vatican City as an independent nation with the Treaty of the Lateran. And so during the whole time, he wasn't allowed to leave the Vatican. But anyway, on either side of that actual cathedra, the seat, which is the cathedral of the Pope, is Innocent III, who was a medieval pope with great power on one side, and on the other side is Leo XIII, and kneeling at his feet on this great statue that is his funeral monument is a simple workman, and he has a tool in one hand, a workman's tool, and in the other hand he has a rosary, because Pope Leo XIII was also known as the rosary priest, which would make our friend Father Rocky very happy. He was known as the rosary priest because he wrote, listen to this, 11 encyclicals about the rosary. Wow. Pope Leo XIII wrote 11 encyclicals about the Most Holy Rosary. And so there's just a lot in this very epic figure. Leo XIII was an epic figure in the Catholic Church, and his papacy opened the 20th century in which you and I were born. And so it's very interesting and surprising that that our new pope would have taken this name.
Your final thoughts on some of the challenges that he's going to have to deal with you know, what his aspirations would be in this day and age, in this modern world in which we live in.
That's right. So again, Pope Leo XIII in his own time with Rerum Novarum and with the kind of launch of modern Catholic social teaching established clearly that the church, even though at that time it was surrounded by worldly powers, all of the temporal authority of the church had been stripped away under Leo XIII, he determined that the church would have a voice in the modern world, that the last thing that we would do would be to hide under a bushel basket. And so it must mean, there must be some element of this in which Pope Leo XIV, looking out at all of the unrest in the world, looking at all out at all of the heartbreak and the violence that grips our world, the confusion and the unrest, that he believes that the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is meant to be an antidote to all of that. And this is why his very first words to us as Pope, "Peace be with you, peace be with you," which he repeated twice when he appeared first at the very beginning and then almost immediately after that, he said, "Peace be with you." And he reminded us, those are the words of the risen Christ. So here we are in the Easter season. Our new Pope is urging us to have peace. That means peace in the world. No more fighting, no more violence, no more war. It also means peace in every human heart. That means that we're not at war with God, that we've repented of our sins, and that we live in friendship with him. And so I think our new Pope is calling us to that, the universal brotherhood of man, so to speak, to use a phrase that Leo XIII would have used, and also holiness of heart, to use a phrase which is central to our identity as Catholics and Christians.